Good evening. Welcome to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. Today is October the 9th of 2018. Got some pretty cool and interesting topics today. We're going to touch on the super micro issue with the tiny little chips that are alleged to be put into motherboards and Ethernet adapters on specific super micro motherboards. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about some new things that Google's doing and their social media network breach as well. So first and foremost, we'll start off with the biggest news since the Facebook hack, which has been a couple of weeks. But the whole scandal with Supermicro and these chips that were found, that allegedly were found, I should say. And there's been some new evidence that came out today. So there's new reports, new evidence, more sources coming out and validating these stories. Now, it's still unvalidated by any, United States government entities, like the Department of Homeland Security still has not come out and validated it. But the FBI has not come out and validated it. So it's still kind of up in the air whether or not this is actually all true. All signs are that it is probably maybe somewhat true and only happened in a limited time frame. The time frame they're saying now was from 2013 to 2015. So any of these motherboards that were manufactured between 2013 and 2015, and it was only specific ones that were manufactured between those times, and they essentially put this little tiny chip the size of a grain of rice, an uncooked grain of rice, in the Ethernet port, and it's basically undetectable by the naked eye, especially. But several companies, including a telecom company that, the story, they can't say which company it was because it's an NDA or whatever. But apparently the telecom company that found this found it because there was what looked to be two different sets of traffic coming from the same server. And so they investigated it further. They called in some pretty high-level security experts on hardware. And that hardware was found to have those little tiny chips bugged into the Ethernet adapters. So this has been a crazy thing to follow here and a crazy story to watch. But there is new evidence out there. More people are coming out and confirming the story and reporting on this and saying that, yes, it's true. In the story as well, they also say that one of these consultants that was in doing some of the initial investigation on the hardware said that he's spoken with foreign intelligence agencies, and they also verified that they were, in fact, investigating similar claims. So this seems to be a lot more widespread, and I think it's just going to continue to gain momentum as we learn more and more about this. So if you do have any kind of super micro equipment in your environment, now's the time to probably replace it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the permanent fix. If you have some pretty robust security tools and you can check outbound traffic and you have a way to validate outbound traffic is coming from a particular MAC address or whatever, and it's going to the specific place where you intend it to go, as long as you can validate that outbound traffic, then I think that you're good. But it's still really scary to think about, and certainly anybody that has a Supermicro motherboard should probably be ready to replace it, essentially. Will people actually replace it? I don't know, but if it was me, I would certainly want to replace it. This is just too risky to keep it at this point. I don't know of many people that would want to go ahead and keep using a motherboard that's bugged like that. But this major U.S. telecom company discovered this little malicious implant in their servers. So they still haven't said what information, what data was flowing in and out of those servers. So we still don't have that information. There's a lot that we don't know. So I'll keep talking about it. As long as there's new information that comes out, I'll keep bringing it up here and we can continue to hash it out and see what eventually comes of all of this. If any of it's true, this is the biggest hack ever, by far. But it wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Apple came out and refuted the story pretty heavily. They even sent a letter to Congress. They were refuting the story. Amazon actually came out as well and refuted the story too. So pretty crazy that both of these big companies that were named in this, I think it was Wall Street Journal or Washington Post article, both of those big companies have both come out and said, no, we weren't affected by this. This is completely untrue. You know, we've got, you know, amazing security controls, yada, yada, yada. And I'm sure, you know, that Google and Apple do have some pretty robust security controls. I'm not going to discount that at all, but, you know, Apple did let the 12 or 13 year old get away with 100 gigs worth of data because the little kid wanted to work there. So, you know, you may have all this great security, but is it all that great if a little 12 year old got away with that much? Probably not. So, I mean, if Amazon was affected, I think that is where this really takes a big turn, because Amazon is famous for AWS, their cloud platform for hosting systems. And if, you know, if those systems were infected with this little bug on the Ethernet adapters, how much data, whose customer data was flowing through, how many companies were affected? The initial reports so far have said that 30 different companies were affected. How they got that specific number, I don't know. But if Amazon's affected, and if it did, in fact, affect AWS, my guess is that it would be a lot more than 30 companies. There's a lot more than 30 companies that use AWS. Netflix uses AWS. There's a whole bunch of these massive, massive companies that use AWS. So I'd be surprised if it was just 30. But we also don't know how many systems had this bug and if these systems are even still in service. We don't know what data was on them, what data was going through them. There's a lot of what ifs. So hopefully we'll get more answers to this as the story progresses, but it's a very, very fluid situation and a very big, big story. So keep your eyes on that, and we'll see what happens. But I highly recommend to go out and look at what Apple sent to Congress about this, and just see their statements from their VP of Information Security. He came out and pretty heavily refuted all of this and explained why. You know, and I just go back to that 12-year-old hacking them with, you know, stealing 100 gigs worth of data. If it was that easy for a 12-year-old, I mean, come on. Who's to say we couldn't have implanted something in their systems? Very unlikely, or shallow-minded, I guess I could say, to think that you're so amazingly great that you're definitely not affected by this. Apple did not come out and say that they've taken apart their, you know, Supermicro motherboards and all their Supermicro servers to validate that this little chip is not there. They have not gone to that extent. The VP just came out and said, no, this is completely untrue, and we have all these controls, and here's why it's untrue. Our networks are segmented. You know, we've got all these proprietary tools that detect all this great stuff, except for a 13-year-old. So pretty amazing to see what Apple said, and especially so quickly. So a lot of people throwing other people under the bus as well. But I definitely think, regardless of who says what and who's getting thrown under the bus, you know, I think it was Amazon, actually. Amazon was throwing the article publisher under the bus by saying they didn't give them enough time to respond. And Washington Post said, yeah, we did, and here we gave you 24 hours, and we contacted you on this day at this time. So everybody's getting thrown under the bus here. But regardless of whose fault it is, there needs to be some serious thought put into this. And there needs to be a huge investigation by all of these companies, really. If you have any kind of Supermicro equipment of any sort, whether it's a motherboard or not, it's time to reevaluate. It's time to look at this and see, you know, are all of these affected? Are, you know, just some of these systems affected? How do we know which ones are and which ones aren't? There's a lot of just what ifs there. So I know that it's hard for them to go through every single system and figure out which ones are bugged and which ones aren't. But man, there needs to be some serious investigation here. And I think if there's more validity to this story as we progress through this, and the FBI even comes out and says that yes, this is an active investigation, then I'm sure that Apple and Amazon will take this a lot more seriously and really start digging into it. But, you know, Apple's saying they use different supply chain vendors and they take supply chain security very seriously. Supermicro came out and said that they take security very seriously. You know, of course, everybody's coming out and saying the right things, but The fact of the matter is there's these claims that so far have been unproven, but are pretty huge accusations. And if they are substantiated in any way, shape, or form, this is huge. This is huge. So still a lot to learn here. If you have stock in Supermicro, I'm sorry. But what's interesting, these stories started coming out last week, and Supermicro's stock took a huge dip, like, way back in August. I mean, this came out at the end of September, I want to say. The first, maybe I missed a story or two, but man, somebody knew something back in August, is what it looks like. And some of the claims are that other foreign intelligence agencies have known about this since, 2015. So there's a whole lot going on here. So we'll see how this all pans out in the end. But man, you want to talk about a massive hack. And I guess the biggest takeaway for me is, yeah, I'm not surprised. Why did it take them this long to do this? And how many times have they done it before with other manufacturers other than Supermicro? You just don't know. Damn near everything that we get is made overseas in Asia, right? Because it's cheap labor over there, and they put together all the electronics. So who's to say? I mean, unless you know exactly what this little chip looks like, I mean, how are you even going to know this is on the motherboard? That's what's really scary. I mean, how does the untrained eye or even an IT professional, how do you know that you're looking at a hacked piece of hardware? How do you know that chip isn't supposed to be there? How do you know? That's just the hardest part of all of this. So makes you wonder if, cell phones have these bugs in them, if, there could be a lot of what ifs. And what also they haven't said either from Apple or Amazon in their statements, neither one of them said that they've tested for any kind of wireless transmissions from these servers or motherboards. I think that could be a point of entry. Potentially. I mean, I don't know. But specifically, the Apple VP of Information Security, everything that he was saying was related to local network traffic and using the Ethernet port. But who's to say that there's not some other chip on there that broadcasts to the nearest cell tower? That's the other stuff that I would like to know. Have they tested it for any sort of wireless transmissions that may be coming from it? And if not, why not? And if so, why haven't you told us about it? There's so many questions and not enough answers. But there's been a new story on this pretty much every day since last week. So I'm sure there'll be a lot more to come as we progress through it. But talk about scary, probably the biggest hack of all time, if any of this is true or substantiated in any way. Our friends at Google, well, they failed to disclose what they're calling a leak. And some people are calling it a breach. It's not really a breach. Essentially, they had an API for Google Plus, which is their social media platform. And that API had a vulnerability in it that would allow developers to see information that they were not supposed to see. And Google came back and said that they weren't going to disclose it to the public because they felt like nothing was breached. There was no evidence of foul play, yada, yada, yada. I guess the good news here is nobody uses Google Plus, and so nobody probably gives a crap about it. And speaking of not giving a crap about it, Google came back and said, oh, by the way, we're going to go ahead and shut down this service. So Google Plus is now going away, and I think that's for good reason. Nobody used it. Google was trying to compete with Facebook. Microsoft tried the same thing and failed miserably. So I'm sure that Google had all the right intentions there, but they probably should have disclosed this one way or another. If there's any sort of vulnerability, and they said it potentially affected 500,000 people, that's probably the total number of people on Google Plus. I mean, it's so rarely used, but they are going to shut down the Google Plus service because of all this stuff, and nobody uses it either, so there's no sense in paying for something and paying to maintain it, paying the developers to maintain it if nobody even uses the damn thing. So other Google-related news. As we all know, Google, Facebook, Twitter have all been getting hit up by the government about privacy and all these privacy concerns and whatnot. So Google is now going to release an update for their Android operating system that essentially it's going to restrict which apps that you have on your phone can request call log and SMS information. And so this is just another step in the right direction. A lot of these apps, for really no good reason, will want access to your call logs and your SMS messages. So Android's taking a step to further prevent just any old app from getting in the App Store and getting access to your call log and your text messages. So that's certainly a step in the right direction, but all of this is sparked because of all the privacy debates and privacy issues and all the big news about Cambridge Analytica and all the related stories around privacy. So this is a good step in the right direction. So I'm glad to see that Google's doing that. Really, it's a long time coming. I'm kind of surprised that it's been allowed for this long. I suspect that Apple will take a very similar step if they haven't already. I don't follow the Apple operating system as heavily as Android, and maybe it's already set up that way. But Android will be restricting how many different apps can even have access to that. And if an app unnecessarily has access to that and it's currently in the Play Store, they're going to delist it until the developers fix it. So it's good stuff. Let's see here. Other cybersecurity news. Our friends at Windows, man, there's a pretty huge data loss bug that was reported in their big, typically they do a spring and a fall update. Well, their fall update, they released it and had hundreds and hundreds of reports of people losing their documents folder. It was completely erased, and so were their pictures. The interesting part is that it was only happening on certain systems, and we don't really know why it was only happening on certain systems and why not others. So very, very interesting bug there. Microsoft has subsequently pulled that update from their update catalog, rightfully so. But they were even saying that all of the Microsoft beta testers, essentially, were all reporting the same issue. And apparently Microsoft, I guess, just didn't listen, or I don't understand. I thought that was the point of beta testing, but I guess it happened to so few beta testers that they just decided, oh, you know what, it's only a few people. We're just going to go ahead and release it anyway. And they did, and people are going nuts on the Microsoft forums. So all the Microsoft haters can rejoice and talk about how you want to burn Microsoft to the ground. But Microsoft is going to fix it, and apparently they have a method for recovering those documents. And what I've seen in previous fall and spring updates that they do, at least from what I've seen anyway, they rename your Windows folder on your C drive to .old. Create a new Windows folder. They also recreate your documents folders, rename the other one to .old. So I have a feeling that the documents are still there, but they're just in a .old folder and people may not know where to look. They're not used to it not being where it's supposed to. Part of their upgrade process probably just didn't copy those files back over. I could see that being an issue for sure. But most of these will recreate that Windows folder because they're doing some pretty big updates. And the issues previously with service packs is that you keep layering on and layering on and layering on. It would just slow the operating system down to a crawl. Well, Microsoft is releasing these fall and spring updates to change the UI as well, but to also delete that Windows folder or rename it to .old and recreate it from scratch to hopefully not slow down your system just because they're doing some updates. So that was always a big issue in the past, at least. So apparently they're going to fix that bug that was reported, and they will re-release this update. So be on the lookout for that. If you've already updated, I'm sorry. If you already updated and you didn't lose anything, that's great. But Microsoft did pull it. One more reason to not jump on the bandwagon, the hype bandwagon with Microsoft. Don't get those updates too quickly. Yeah, I mean, if there's a security update that's critical, all right, sure. But these big feature updates and UI updates, I would wait a little while. Give it about a month or two and then go ahead and apply it. So watch out for that latest update. Microsoft did pull it, and people are pissed. Of course, rightfully so. Let's see what else I had here for cybersecurity news. I think that was about it for cybersecurity. Jumping over to cryptocurrency news. Kind of the biggest news that I saw over the last week or so is about creating an ICO on the Bitcoin blockchain. So traditionally, ICOs have been on the Ethereum blockchain, and which is great. You know, they're building on, developers are building on top of the Ethereum platform, but we haven't yet done this with Bitcoin. So now what they're saying is within the next year or so, you're going to start seeing ICOs, but using the Bitcoin blockchain, and they'll be creating tokens with those ICOs using the Bitcoin blockchain. So I think that this is, overall, it's good for Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a great foundation. I think one of the biggest problems with Bitcoin and facing Bitcoin is, you know, yes, it's a great platform or a foundation, but so much more can be built on top of it. And I think that's where Bitcoin falls short. So it provides the underlying foundation and provides the stable network. But there's so much that can be built on top of that. And that's what you're going to start seeing. That's what you see now with Ethereum. People build on top of the Ethereum blockchain to build their distributed applications, all their tokens, yada, yada, yada. Well, you're going to start seeing that now on the Bitcoin blockchain. So I think that's good. I think that Bitcoin can be made a lot more simple. If somebody can come up with a way to simplify Bitcoin and simplify how to make a payment, put a platform, a mobile app that you can use NFC to make a Bitcoin payment, all that kind of stuff is just going to do nothing but help the adoption of Bitcoin. Right now, nobody wants to do it because it's just not very user-friendly. If I went to my dad right now and said, hey, Dad, send me $100 in Bitcoin, he would laugh at me and say, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. How the hell am I supposed to do that? He wouldn't even know where to start, probably. Or he would start by calling me and asking me, how the hell do I do this? So there's nothing but good news there with Bitcoin, and I think it's just going to help the platform. Some other news with Ripple. Ripple is still making waves. No pun intended. They are using their XRapid product with a whole bunch of new customers, and it's in production right now and being used pretty heavily for transactions. So Ripple's still cooking and still making waves, and they're doing a lot of great things. So keep your eye out on Ripple, too. They just continue to surge. There was another story about one of the ASIC chip makers. They're betting pretty big that Ethereum will not move to proof of stake anytime soon. And they're going to start trying to build ASIC chips for Ethereum mining, which I'm very skeptical that they don't already have this and they just don't tell everybody yet. So I think in the end, you know, Ethereum will move to proof of stake. They still got a ways to go, it looks like, but might start seeing some ASIC chips and some ASIC mining now on the Ethereum blockchain, which will basically make all of these GPU miners completely useless. So here's to hoping that it goes to proof of stake. I'd much rather set up a master node and be done with it, but I can't control it. But these chip makers, they're betting pretty big that it's not moving to proof of stake. So we'll see what happens with that moving forward. Other interesting cryptocurrency news, MasterCard, one of the biggest credit card providers, they won a patent for a proposed system that would allow the launch of different kinds of blockchains, including those that support multiple currencies. Now, what they intend to do with all of this is still kind of up in the air, but wow, talk about cool, multi-currency blockchains using a MasterCard. That's pretty slick. And I think that's also great for cryptocurrency community. That just shows more adoption and more adoption, more adoption. So nothing but good news all around for the blockchain and cryptocurrency in general. Bitcoin's been doing pretty good too as far as price goes. It's been hanging pretty steady. Right now it's at 6587. Been hanging pretty steady in that range between 65 and 6600. Ethereum's around 230. It's kind of floating between 215 and 230. Still haven't seen Ethereum make any other big jumps. They did kind of climb back up a little bit there, but they're still kind of floating around 230. So not really great news for Ethereum, but at least it's not in the $100 range like it was, 180, whatever it was. Bitcoin Cash is $516, and Ethereum Classics, $10.84, and Litecoin's at $58. So not a whole lot of movement in all of these price-wise over the last 2 weeks. They've all been holding pretty steady at their respective prices, which is good for the market. It means it's staying pretty steady. The EFT decision still has not come down, but there's so much speculation from a lot of different crypto investors saying that this is really going to just make Bitcoin go through the roof. So that's still obviously yet to be seen, but certainly something to keep an eye on as that comes out. So that's all I had for today. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at eEnglish34 on Twitter, at eEnglish34. You can follow me on there. Hit me up on there. I retweet a bunch of these articles that I talk about here on the show. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon.